The Enduring Gap podcast is made possible by an Education Writers Association fellowship. EWA fellowships support ambitious education journalism projects.
It's graduation week at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Graduates in t-shirts and stoles, dresses and caps are gathered on one end of campus for a commencement drive. They ride to the other end of campus in cars and truck beds decorated in the university's signature orange and blue. Along the way, they're cheered by family and friends.
My sister Alexa Ortiz is graduating with her BS in kinesiology.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
A-L-E-X-A?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And her best friend is with her, and she's Alex.
Alex?
Alex?
Oh. Yes, Alex and Alexa.
Okay.
Yes.
The Ortiz family drove from El Paso for the occasion. They stand on a rock outcropping along a bend in the road and clap and shout for every graduate driving by.
We're the proud mama and papa.
Awesome.
Yes.
She's a baby, so
Nice.
Other families ride along with their graduates, posing for photos with UTSA's mascot, Rowdy the Roadrunner, while they're serenaded by a mariachi band. No San Antonio celebration would be complete without mariachi music. Mexican culture and history are a big part of the city's identity. And yet, even though more than half the undergraduate enrollment at UTSA is Hispanic, just 17% of Latino adults in San Antonio have a bachelor's degree. 17%. Our largest population is the least likely to have a college degree. From Texas Public Radio, this is The Enduring Gap, a limited series exploring some of the reasons more Latinos in San Antonio don't have college degrees. I'm Camille Phillips.
You generally don't even get like the interview if you don't have really like the degree.
Everybody says you got to go to college to be successful, but they charge you an arm and a leg to get there.
And I just was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, okay, I see what you value and it's not me.
San Antonio's statistics mirror national education trends, but we're 64% Latino. If we can't get this right, no one can. And there's a lot at stake if we don't. Until we do, most of our neighbors won't have the credentials they need to earn a comfortable income. So why aren't we doing better? In this episode, we'll talk about San Antonio's longstanding educational inequities and how the standard way of measuring and supporting student success isn't working. Episode 1, The Cost of the Status Quo. A big part of the problem is that a lot of college student stories don't end with a cap and gown, like it did for Alexa Ortiz. A lot of students end up dropping out instead, or saying, I'll finish my degree someday. Nearly 40% of students who start college in the United States don't have a degree 6 years later. Life, and sometimes poverty, get in the way. That's what happened to Araceli Garza. Even when times are good, the 42-year-old mother of four sometimes struggles to pay for groceries and utilities. In 2020, times were not good. Sometimes Garza went hungry because she didn't have enough money to buy food.
I was transitioning off of like a medical leave, and then I was, just on a part-time income and was unable to, due to the pandemic, they weren't allowing like any type of schedule adjustments or be able to work any more hours. So it was very difficult financially at that time.
She works at an insurance call center, but she can't get promoted, even though she's worked for the same company for 14 years.
With my employer, they don't consider you. I mean, you generally don't even get like the interview if you don't have really like the degree.
Garza has been trying to earn an associate's degree for almost a decade. She first enrolled at Northwest Vista, one of San Antonio's community colleges, in 2012. But school isn't easy for her, and she has to work full-time to support her family. So she takes breaks and enrolls in one or two classes at a time when she can. In the fall of 2020, she withdrew halfway through the semester when the stress of the class and the pandemic combined became too much of a burden on her mental health.
I started to have some medical issues, and so I wasn't able to complete the courses. I really wanted to complete them, but I really wasn't, I guess, capable of doing so. So then in turn, my grades started to diminish.
Now Garza is stuck. Her GPA stayed below 2.0 too long. That means she no longer qualifies for federal financial aid. I asked her about this catch-22.
In order for you to like be promoted and make more money, then you need a degree. Is that right?
Yes.
But in order to get a degree, you need to be able to make more money to pay for your degree.
I know, yeah.
She still wants to complete her degree, but before she can re-enroll, she has to save up enough money to pay for classes out of pocket. For students like Araceli Garza, the final roadblock that prevents them from completing their degree can sometimes be as trivial as a couple of grades or a couple hundred dollars. But that doesn't mean the solution is simple.
How can you have social mobility when there's consistent walls put up in your way? Because even if they clear one wall, it's like, all right, I applied, I submitted a financial aid application. Then the next wall is interpreting the financial aid application. And then the next wall is paying for it, like working and going to school at the same time and navigating that.
Vanessa Sansone is an assistant professor of education policy at UTSA. She says racial inequities are baked into the history and geography of South Texas.
You can see this from the way that space is divided up in terms of K-12 school system here, right? You can see it in terms of the positioning of where higher education institutions are positioned. For many of these Latinx students, you know, they come from a history of disadvantage, right? A legacy of injustices.
The stark difference in income levels between students attending different school districts in San Antonio illustrates how those historic injustices affect students today. Latino students are more likely to attend a school with fewer resources and less likely to be able to easily afford college. They're also less likely to graduate from high school. Just 76% of Hispanic adults have a high school diploma in San Antonio, compared to more than 90% of non-Hispanic adults.
There have been obstacles generationally that have been put there to make it that much more difficult to attend higher education, so let alone finish and graduate, right?
Sansone studies inequities in access to higher education. She says access to college is controlled by interconnected systems of power.
The systems are inequitable, and they're that way for a reason. They want you to give up. They're giving you every reason to withdraw and get a job on the pipeline or get a job working on the phones, right?
Growing up in a low-income family in San Antonio, Sansone experienced those unequal power structures firsthand. She was the first in her family to go to college.
There were many times where I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
Sansone managed to earn her bachelor's degree and eventually a doctorate, but she knows how easily it could have gone the other way and how easily it does go the other way for many Latino students in South Texas.
What tends to happen with my story is it gets told in a way of, well, with all the cards stacked against her coming from a low-income family and all these circumstances that could have thrown me off, right, could have made me withdraw and I didn't. What tends to happen then is my story gets told in that, we'll see if she can do it. Everybody should be able to do it. And that's incorrect. And I'm quick to push back on that because I'm an exception. My story should not be told in that kind of way because all it does is justify and validate the inequitable systems.
The summer after her first year of undergrad at St. Mary's University, her mom was laid off and her dad had a heart attack.
He had a triple bypass surgery and we almost lost him and took many weeks for him to come back from. And so while he's in the hospital, the bills are just like racking up, you know, because he also doesn't have insurance, not through an employer anyway.
She took on multiple jobs so that her family wouldn't lose their house or their car.
Still to this day, I cannot eat fideo and beans because that's all we could afford to eat on a day-to-day. When we talk about, you know, students navigating college and being successful, that's what I think about because that's what I experienced in undergrad. I mean, I thought I was going to have to withdraw. And it had nothing to do with my academics. I had a 4.0. But it was these things that I was having to deal with on a day-to-day basis that I didn't understand. Why was it so much easier for everybody else?
Sansone says she went to the financial aid office to see if she could get any more scholarships or grants. They told her she could file a petition based on her change in circumstance.
I didn't take that lightly. I took it like, this is my opportunity, this is my chance to tell them my story, what's going on. So I remember getting a letter from the doctor, like as a part of like this packet. And it was like a thick packet of like, here's what's going on. Here's the last notice on the house before they, you know, take it. Here are my pay stubs. You know, I have two jobs right now, but I'm about to get a third if you don't, you know, if you can't do anything for me. And even with that, like, I don't know if I can stay enrolled. I definitely don't know if I can stay enrolled full time. And so I submitted that and they came back with offering me $5,000 loan. And I was so mad. I was so upset.
She had wealthy classmates, the children of doctors and lawyers, who had full rides to her college based on merit.
And I just like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, okay, I see what you value, and it's not me.
The higher education system rewards students and colleges for high performance. Colleges are ranked highly when their students graduate quickly. Students with good grades are given scholarships. But that system is built on the false assumption that everyone starts on a level playing field, and it leaves a lot of students starting the game from behind. So why don't more Latinos have college degrees? Sansone says it's partly because the system wasn't built for them.
These are systems that were designed by, you know, white people, particularly white affluent male, you know, centering institutions. And so they weren't set up in ways to support, you know, students who attend them. I mean, students of color who are attending higher education, it's almost mind-blowing, you know, the fact that they even made it. Higher education is set up in a way where it puts the onus a lot on students. If a student isn't taking advantage of internships, then it's usually framed as, well, that's your fault. Like, you know, we have a career service center, you should have went there. But what if you're a student who's never, you don't know what to ask? Like, how do I know that I should be getting an internship when I'm the first in my family to go to college? Or I have to, you know, again, with that class dynamic, if you come from a lower affluent, you know, status family, and you yourself are a provider for your family, now I can't have summers off. Like, I'm working at the same time. How do I navigate my responsibilities to my family and still, you know, take advantage of whatever college says that I should be taking advantage of during the 4 years that I'm supposed to be there?
The gap in higher education attainment matters because it has real consequences in dollars and cents.
Beginning in the 80s, if you're going to go anywhere in America, you had to go to college first. Some kind of college, two-year college, post-secondary training program, something.
Tony Carnevale is the director of Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce. His center has calculated how much more someone can earn over the course of their lifetime with a college degree.
For the BA, you're talking about $1.2 million, $1.3 million in real dollars when you take away the cost and all the rest of it. But there's very wide variation in that. That is, it's 2 to 3 times that in engineering, $2 to $3 million we're talking about over a career.
Carnevale says there are some two-year degrees and certificates that pay better than some four-year degrees. What career you're preparing for sometimes matters more than how long you study.
Now, 40% of people with BAs make more than people with graduate degrees because they're in the right field. 30% of people with two-year degrees make more than the average BA because they're in the right field or in a well-earning field, not necessarily the right field. And there are lots of certificates and short-term training programs that can bring very high earnings if you go to a community college and you major in heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. You'll do better than most college graduates.
But overall, you still have a much better chance of a comfortable income if you have a college degree.
When we look out to 2031, we see most of the growth in good jobs coming at the BA level. So 75% of BA jobs are good jobs, whereas 45 to 50% of jobs that require less than a BA but more than a high school degree are good jobs, and a much smaller share of the high school jobs are good jobs.
Carnevale says education has become more and more important in the United States over the last 40 years.
In economic terms, and of course, in America, economic terms means that all sorts of other areas of your life are affected because we're not a big welfare state like Switzerland. So your job is pretty much your future.
But access to education has not been equal over the past 40 years.
So that education has enormous potential to create racial and economic and gender justice in America, but it doesn't do it. What's happened is, and we've seen this since the 90s in our own research, moving through the education system has pretty well guaranteed the intergenerational transmission of race, class, and gender privilege. That is, we've set up a system, apart from how people feel about each other, we've set up an institutional system that reproduces privilege.
The Georgetown Center tracked children's long-term outcomes from the time they were 4 or 5 until they were about 30 years old. Carnevale says 30% of the low-income kids who scored well on tests in preschool or early elementary made it through college and found a good-paying job by the time they were 30.
So there's good news there. 30% of the smart, less advantaged kids do make it in America.
But on the flip side, 70% of well-off kids who scored poorly on tests in the early grades made it through college and found a good-paying job by the time they were 30.
So it is still true in America that it's a lot better to be rich than smart, and that the system really hasn't changed very much after all these years.
And those inequities also carry over to wages.
No matter what the field, the women will make less. The men will make more. The Asian men will make the most, then the white men. Then after that, you start getting into minority male wages. The bottom of the wage scale is Latino females.
Does that mean that Latino women, for instance, need a college degree more than ever? Or does that mean there's maybe perhaps less value in a college degree for them?
It means they need a degree. And not only a degree, but if they want to make as much as some guy, they need an extra degree. In general, this is not precisely accurate, but in general, a woman needs one more degree than a man to make the same as a man.
For San Antonio, these inequities also mean that many of our neighbors were hit particularly hard by the pandemic. Mike Ramsey is the head of workforce development for the city of San Antonio.
The data shows from this pandemic, you're less likely to get laid off or lose your job if you had a bachelor's degree. So when you have a huge disparity between the number of Hispanics and the number of white individuals in the community that had a bachelor's degree, you can see that the city was hit harder, you know, by the results of those individuals losing their positions.
And Ramsey says the low educational rate for Hispanics in San Antonio also has a ripple effect on the economy as a whole.
You know, when you talk about what companies look for when they're thinking about growing or expanding or relocating into an area, one of those data points is the educational attainment rate of the people who live in that city, especially for, you know, sectors that in the STEM fields that, you know, require, you know, a certain caliber of workforce. They want to make sure that that's readily available in that city.
So why isn't San Antonio doing better at putting more degrees in Latinos' hands? Nearly one in four adults in San Antonio have some college but no degree, like Araceli Garza. Unless they're able to cross that finish line, all of their hard work and aspirations won't add up to a boost in income. The question is, what can be done about it? That's a harder question to answer. Sansona says the way student success is measured and researched favors students in colleges that behave in traditional ways.
Higher education institutions don't get credit for transfer students. We have this idea of first-time freshmen, right, that they have to come here. And again, if you're serving a high transfer population, guess what? You're not getting that much money. Schools like Harvard have very few transfer students. And that's an example of what I'm talking about, right? So, but at the same time, too, if you also transfer in, you don't qualify for as much scholarships, too, because they want you to be a part of that first-time freshman cohort at a four-year institution.
The standard graduation rate doesn't include transfer students or part-time students, but many San Antonio College students are part-time, and a lot of them transfer to a four-year school after earning their associates. And to top it all off, a lot of the data that is available isn't broken down by race and ethnicity.
The quantitative data, we don't have access to it, and the little bit that we do, it's hard to make sense of the nuance.
We know that starting college is far from a guarantee that you'll finish, but there's not much research available on what is keeping more Latino students from crossing the finish line, especially at the local level.
So we kind of know that money is always going to be an issue. We know that family is going to be a major factor in their decisions about college. We know that the high school that they come from is going to be a factor. So those are kind of knowns. But beyond that, we still are trying to understand what's going on.
So we asked the students themselves. Texas Public Radio hired a research group to conduct an anonymous survey of students enrolled in San Antonio's public colleges. The survey gave us hard data to map out trends. It also connected us with students who could tell us how their experiences impact their lives and what they say would make it easier for them to graduate.
Everybody says you got to go to college to be successful, but they charge you an arm and a leg to get there. And it's like, some people don't have that. Some people aren't fortunate enough to have parents who will support them and whatnot, or, you know, just anything like that.
Some findings were sobering. Other findings were surprising, challenging the prevailing understanding of what keeps more Latinos from graduating from college.
I kept encountering people talking about what they called the big lie, 19, 20, 21-year-old people saying, you know, we started school here and we were told that we needed to study hard and get good grades so we could go to college. But then as we got older and closer to graduation, we realized that college was not something that we could do.
The remaining episodes in this series will unpack the main findings in the survey. The goal is to start figuring out what's keeping more Latino students from earning degrees and how San Antonio and its colleges can better support them. Because one thing is clear, the way things work now isn't working. Education is supposed to be the great equalizer, the path out of poverty, but Latino students are slipping through the cracks. On the next episode of The Enduring Gap, financial aid.
For me, it's about being smart and, you know, just knowing that when they're throwing money at you, it's not good to just take it. Like, there's always something. There's always fine print. There's always lines that you have to read in between.
Are Latino students less likely to take out student loans? If so, why? And how does that impact their pathway through college? The Enduring Gap is a production of Texas Public Radio. This episode was edited by Fernando Ortiz Jr. Jacob Rosati did sound design. Dan Katz is our news director. I'm Camille Phillips.